A production of SDPB, South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Senate Tax Committee. And if the secretary would please read the roll.
Edelstein? Howie?
Here.
Joestad?
Here.
Maher? Merchant?
Here.
Nelson? Peterson?
Here.
Frisley?
Here.
Hansen?
Hi, here.
Quorum.
Okay, we have a quorum present. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
So
moved by Senator Frisley, seconded by Senator Merchant. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. See, this morning, I would once again remind you, those of you who are testifying, to please sign the register back by the door so that we get your name spelled right. Be especially mindful of speaking right into the microphone. I sometimes think that this mic is not terrifically sensitive, and you really do need to get snuggled up right close to it, because it's important that we get our testimony recorded out there in all over the state of South Dakota, well, heck, all over the nation, as it goes out on the internet, which I think is a very valuable service to the public. Also, I'd appreciate it if you not have your cell phone go off. We have two young ladies serving us this morning, one of which is here, the other one is working very hard, which they're supposed to. Cam Iverson from Myrtle, Jones County High School, one of our pages. And the other page that you will notice, she's dressed very similar, will come in just a minute, Lauren Elbers from New Underwood. I'm going to this morning take the two House bills, 1010 first, then 1011, and we'll follow with Senate Bill 199. And as I just speak, Ms. Elbers has just entered the room, and she'll be happy to know that she's already been introduced to you. So with that, we will open public testimony on House Bill 1010, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the imposition of sales and use tax on telecommunications services and ancillary services. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Jane Page, Department of Revenue and Regulation. House Bill 1010 is a streamlined bill. It's the only bill we have this session for streamline. And it's being added, it's a requirement for our state to have this bill to remain in compliance with streamlined, but it does not change how we tax telecommunication, and there's no revenue impact. We just have to specifically state some things that we're already taxing. Ancillary services is one of them, and currently we tax them in our broad statute that says all services are taxed unless specifically exempted. And that's fine, but some states, I'm not quite sure how they word their laws, and so the industry came in and said, if you are going to tax these services, would you please specifically list them for us? And all states then have to do that the same. So we've specifically listed ancillary services. And ancillary services for telecommunication are things like voicemail and conferencing in, phone conferencing, ID, when you're looking at your phone and who you can tell is calling. Those are the type of ancillary services that they're talking about, and we have taxed them. We're also, there's several definitions that are in rule that we're moving into the statute. And then we're adding the terms intrastate, interstate, and international telecommunication services in place of just the word telecommunication service when we tax telecommunication services. And again, this doesn't make a change to what we tax or what we exempt. It's just some specific language that we need to add. And then we also have the corresponding use tax laws. And that's all this bill does. And I ask for your vote on House Bill 1010. And stand by for questions.
Thank you very much. Are there further proponents to Senate Bill 1010? Further proponents? Anyone speaking as a proponent to Senate or House Bill 1010, excuse me? If not, are there any opponents to House Bill 1010? Any opponents? Seeing none, I would suppose that we could waive the rebuttal testimony and open to any committee questions.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Joestad.
Move to pass.
Second.
That may be a bit premature, but seeing no questions, I would say that I would say now it is in order. We have a motion by Senator Gerstad, seconded by Senator Merchant, do pass. Any speaking to that motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will, all those in favor say aye, those opposed say nay, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson? Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, Senate Bill, or House Bill 1010 passes on a unanimous vote. Moved by Senator Peterson to go to consent. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Merchant. Speaking to the motion? Not. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1010 will go on consent. We will now open public testimony to House Bill 1011, which is an act to revise restrictions on the assignment and transfer of certain tax refund permits and refund claims. Proponents to House Bill 1011, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jan Talley, Department of Revenue and Regulation. House Bill 1011 is an act to revise restrictions on the assignment and transfer of tax refund permits. Currently, the department must refund the permit applicant, and the law states that that permit is not assignable or transferable. There are situations that we have encountered with refund permit applicants where they change their entities. And an entity change could be like an LLC to an LLP, and it has similar ownership or the same members. This bill would allow the department to assign or transfer a permit for a refund claim if the entity reorganization has similar ownership and was completed for a legitimate business purpose. The new entity would have to file an amended permit with the Department of Revenue so that we would have the correct ownership on the new entity. So this bill would just allow that particular entity to assign the refund permit, and they'd file the new application, and then the refunds would go to the new entity. I urge your support on House Bill 1011.
Thank you, Ms. Teller. Are there further proponents to House Bill 1011? Further proponents to HB 1011? Seeing none, are there opponents to House Bill 1011? Any opponents? Seeing none, I would open to committee questions. Seeing no questions, I would close public testimony and open to committee discussion and/or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
I move do pass.
Yeah, we have a motion from Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Merchant, do pass. Further speaking to that motion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye, those opposed say nay, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson? Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
House Bill 1011 passes on a unanimous vote. We will now move to hear public testimony on Senate Bill 199, which is an act to repeal the sales and use tax on certain food items to increase the rate of taxation for the sales and use tax on certain goods and services, to provide for the distribution of certain revenue to municipalities, and to repeal the sales tax on food refund program. Senator Merchant.
Good morning. My name is Pam Merchant, and I'm from Brookings, and I serve in District 7, Brookings County. And I am very pleased to sit before you today and to bring a remarkable bill before you that will help a lot of people. And before you, you have a number of amendments. And I apologize for the length of this bill. It might be one of the largest that we're looking at this year, but it's very detailed, and it spells out exactly, it's a comprehensive package in reducing the food tax and solving a lot of issues. I do have something for the page to allow the senators to look at, please. I didn't want to get rid of any more trees. So I copied a number of emails that I've received in support of this, and I have more that I didn't print out. And I want to note that I have not have had any emails in opposition to it. I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to speak. And dear senators, we stand as an island in the Midwest, as a state that continues the regressive practice of taxing food. Please take note of handout number 1 and 2. The time is now when times are becoming increasingly difficult for people to make ends meet. We need the relief now. 36 states have come to the realization that it is harmful to people to tax food. 7 states are left taxing at their full state rate, including South Dakota. In this presentation, I will explain how SB 199 is a comprehensive and well-orchestrated device to help move us forward in solving the dilemma of taxing needs over wants. In nearly every town in South Dakota, the food tax is now equivalent to more than 3 weeks' worth of food out of a year. I have come to know you all, and I believe that you have the best interest of your constituents in mind and wish to tax our people fairly and with the least amount of harm. I want to point out to you that this is a bipartisan bill being sponsored by Representative Cutler in the House, and it has created much interest and support in both bodies. And I wanted to go over the amendments with you, first of all. And the first one you have is a title amendment. If you could make note of those. And the second one is a little bit more deep. This will change the state increase, tax increase, to 3/10 and will allow local control of ad valorem tax to be increased in the amount that they need to recover any lost local taxes once the food tax is repealed. And the third one helps our tribes. The tribes, if they're under a compact, they have the same state tax as we do. They follow what we do. So they're at 4% right now. So this would move them to 4 3/10, but it would allow, since they spend a lot more per capita per income on food, so they pay more sales tax locally on food, this would recover that lost income. So this solves the tribe's issue and benefits them as well. Senate Bill 199 is a four-part bill designed to, number one, remove the tax on food from both the local, tribal, and state level. Adjust non-food tax items to 4 3/10 at the state level to balance revenue, shifting tax burden upward. Number three, repeal the food tax reimbursement program, saving our state over $3 million. Allow for tax adjustments at the local level for food taxes not collected. What food is covered and not covered is spelled out if you look at the bill itself. I want to kind of step you through that a little bit because it is a very lengthy bill. Spelled out in the first few pages of the bill what foods are not covered by this bill, which means that certain foods will still have a tax on them. You're talking about pop, candy, vending machine, alcohol, vitamin supplements. Those things will still be taxed. On page 10, line 5, through page 14, the bill describes how the 3/10% adjustment to non-food sales tax items would work. These are things such as cleaning products, clothes, utilities, and car leases. Such things as rent, mortgage payments, car payments, gas are not sales tax items and are not affected by this bill. On page 14, starting at the bottom, through page 17, you will see the food tax reimbursement program deleted. In doing so, you will save the state of South Dakota, I will reiterate this, more than $3 million in non-replaced funds and remove a program that has not met with much success. You know, as I visited with people about this bill and the potential for it, I came across some opposing thoughts that I want to share with you. The first one is, if I can pay the tax on food, I should pay it. First of all, you need to question whether you philosophically believe sustenance should be taxed. So you need to decide that first. This goes back to the concept of not taxing needs and moving taxes into wants. You cannot buy used food, but you can buy used clothing, which many people do, including myself. We have or had a reimbursement program that covers people. Once again, this costs our state millions with no replacement. The program is paperwork heavy and is underused. Also, people should be allowed their pride. You'll hear more from Sylvia Christen later on the subject. Non-food tax items being adjusted to 3/10 is also regressive. There are undoubtedly some items that will remain as needs, even in this revised tax structure, but clearly the most regressive tax is one on food. Economist Drew Anderson has prepared a tax calculator, which I have provided you a sample of. This does show the 0.5% increase, which would still be fairly accurate because of the localities being able to increase theirs to accommodate. So it shows you a chart of if you spend a certain percentage of your income on food and how much you will save. The Municipal League may oppose this bill. This bill will hold municipalities and tribes harmless. This bill takes care of people living in their towns, and I believe it is only a matter of time before the concept laid out before you in Senate Bill 199 comes to fruition. In closing, when we were elected to this position, we were asked to be mindful and protective of our people and help them if we can. This is your opportunity to help them in a broad way. This bill does many positive things. It adjusts our sales tax system to be far less regressive. It holds cities and tribes harmless by allowing them to replace revenue. The cities and the tribes will be replaced, their revenue loss. Allows families to purchase more food. For my family of five, we could buy 200 more gallons of milk a year. 200 gallons, not that we would buy just milk if we saved money, but this bill helps children. It allows growing families to purchase more food. I believe there is no better time to relieve our people of the tax on food. Senate Bill 199 moves us forward, and I urge you to strongly consider allowing this bill to be debated on the Senate floor. It is a discussion our state needs to have. And now you will hear from a young family, and I will stand by for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. We'll withhold questions until all the testimony has been completed. Are there further proponents to Senate Bill 199? Good morning. Good morning. Just relax and tell us your name and where you're from, and go ahead and speak to us just like ordinary people.
It's nerve-wracking. My name is Brandy Westford. I live here in Pierre. I'm sorry. My husband works two full-time jobs so that I can stay home with our boys. We have a 4-month-old and a 4-year-old. He works 80 hours a week. We hardly see him because of the economy and just different things. We have a very hard time paying for food. We have to wait until we get our income tax every year so that we can go and fill. We have a chest freezer and a regular freezer in our house, and we fill that with meat. Because on a normal week, we cannot go out and buy meat for our family. We have to go and get the stuff that's on sale or whatever we can do. It's hard to pay for groceries nowadays. And when I was pregnant, I had a heart condition. And all I could think of was, how am I going to buy formula for my baby if I'm on these medications that I cannot breastfeed my son with? If we had to pay for formula the way that it is now, my son has a milk protein allergy and a soy protein allergy. That formula is $35 a can. That is a tank of gas a week for us. How are we supposed to decide whether to feed our son or buy a tank of gas for our family? I mean, it's gotten so rough for families to feed. I don't know how we're supposed to do it with the tax on that. It would help us out quite a bit if this bill would pass, because it would be easier for our family to buy groceries.
No.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's just, I think that there are more things, hobbies that we could tax in this state, and instead of the things that we absolutely need to survive.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and talking to us. Further proponents to Senate Bill 199. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sylvia Kristen. I'm the registered lobbyist for Dakota Rural Action. Our organization has had policy on removing the food tax for many, many years. This is an issue that has been of interest to our members for a very long time, because we do represent a lot of our membership base is very much based in family agriculture, family farming, rural communities, where we do see a lot of lower income families. We strongly support this bill. We think that Senator Merchant has done a great job of answering the questions and addressing all the parts of this that will go into it and how it will be put into place. And one of the big reason or big things that have come up with this is that we would be removing the sales tax on food refund program. And so I wanted to talk to that program just a moment. The sales tax on food refund program is a program that's available from the Department of Social Services to low-income families so that they can apply to have their food tax refunded to them. And it's refunded on an income basis. Anybody that is within an income level of 150% of the poverty line is eligible to apply for this program for the refund. And they get, on average, the state is refunding about $25 per quarter to each of those families on an EBT food stamps card that can then be used, again, at the grocery store to buy more groceries with. Currently, the state is serving about 38,850 families with this. That is what they had last year, that people that actually were refunded taxes. The DSS estimates that about 60,000 families in the state would actually be eligible for the program. A large number of them, I would assume, don't know about it. The young woman that you just heard testify a moment ago is not eligible for food stamps because her family's income level is above that number. She didn't realize that there was a refund program available to her to apply for this. And just to give you an idea, the 150%, within 150% of the poverty line, a family of four would have to earn less than $31,900 a year to even be eligible for that refund. So we're talking about a pretty low poverty line here to be able to get a sales tax refund on your food items, and at that point it's only about $25 per quarter. The state of South Dakota, citizens in this state, spend about $79 million a year on food tax. That's just taxes. That's just the food tax that we would be removing with this bill, $79 million. And currently, we're only refunding $3 million of that. So there's a real, there's a huge amount of food tax here that is, of taxes that are being taxed on a necessary item, something that people obviously can't live without. And we're not refunding that at the level that it could be if we repealed this tax. The sales tax on food refund program, I think, has worked. It's serving the people that it is meant to serve. But I feel by repealing this through the Senate Bill 199, the way that Senator Merchant has proposed this, it will open it up and allow that this refund to be available to so many more people that need it. And still be available to those people that are getting it currently. So with that, we feel that this bill is very well written. We really applaud Senator Merchant for her work on it. Ending the food tax with this bill would be 100% automatic. It ends the need for the program at the Department of Social Services. It's efficient, it's effective, and we feel like it would be very important for the state of South Dakota to consider this bill. So we would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kristen. Further proponents to Senate Bill 199? Good morning.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. I'm trying to get more comfortable here.
Good morning to all of you.
Well, my name is Angie Johnson, and I'm actually from Sioux Falls. This is my daughter, Prairie. This is Karina. And actually, I'm only speaking on behalf of myself and just kind of from a philosophical point of view. I want to thank Senator Merchant for bringing this bill forward, and I'll be thanking Representative Cutler, too. I'm actually in Pierre for a totally different reason, and I came across this bill looking on the website, and I was like, wow, this is very comprehensive. It makes a lot of sense. And I can speak for a lot of Sioux Falls families, not on behalf of them because I'm not a registered lobbyist. I do facilitate breastfeeding support group meetings in Sioux Falls for the Sioux Falls nursing moms, and there are some people who are very affected by the rising cost of food recently, especially people who are on fixed incomes. And, you know, the two people ago, I think it was Sylvia who was testifying, you know, if you can't breastfeed and you're paying for formula, that's really expensive. But even if you are breastfeeding, you're still, a woman needs to actually eat more. They need about 500 calories more per day to maintain their milk supply. And when the food prices have been rising, and there's a lot of people who come to breastfeeding support group meetings who are on Medicaid, who get food stamps, and they complain, like you wouldn't believe, that their food stamps run out within about 2.5 to 3 weeks. And then after that, it's, you know, either the credit card or, you know, dipping into whatever, you know, savings. And it's I just think this bill is a really good way to redistribute how we're collecting taxes. And that's all I have. Thanks again.
Very good. Thank you very much. Further proponents of Senate Bill 199? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, committee, for hearing this good bill. I'm Kathy Brachtholz-Bauer. I'm a volunteer with Bread for the World, and we're very supportive of this bill. It's the one that we've been waiting for many years, and I hope you feel the same about it. I've been studying the food tax for many years, and far too long now. So I brought some cans of formula if you want to just pass these around. This one, you'll see the prices and the tax. The cheapest one that I found at the grocery store this year was $10 a can. These last about 3 days. I visited with a foster mom who has many babies, and she said that would be about the amount of time to expect those to last. So you'd need about 10 of those cans a month. Mrs. Westergren, who just testified here, that she was worried about being able to breastfeed her baby. Her baby has so many allergies that the type of can of formula that she would need is even more expensive than the most expensive one coming around here. It's about $30-something, $35 for a can that lasts about 3 days. So I just want you to be aware of that. When you get a new person in your family and you're making all these adjustments, then it's kind of a big expense. I want to mention that proposal that's before you today is in keeping with the streamlined tax agreement, in case that was a concern of someone. It's okay for states to exempt food. Most states do. It's okay in the streamlining to leave the tax on the pop and candy because there are different definitions allowed under the streamlining laws, and that's one of the allowable definitions for food. So that's a positive thing both for the nutrition and because it fits in with streamlining. This is a good bill, and this is the right time to pass it. I have a strong sense that you've come to Pierre to do good for the people you represent, to make South Dakota a better state for people to live and raise their families, and this is something you can do to help with that. The economy is struggling, as you know, from all the struggle that you're facing this year. We have headlines like more South Dakotans working two jobs, like you just heard mentioned about Mr. Westergren here in the room with us today. And we know that South Dakota is the highest for moms working outside the home. And I know you would like to do something about that, to make wages better so that we didn't have these stresses on our families. And I hope you'll keep trying to do that. But I know that those take time. They take time. But this bill is something you can do now to help. This bill can help immediately with the family finances and the family stress and getting food on the table. And that's the difference that this bill makes, that previous proposals haven't ever been this good, and they haven't been right in front of you, as an opportunity to help people that you represent and to make the state better. 41% of the children in South Dakota, in a 2000 figure from Kids Count Data Center, a 2007 figure, 41% of South Dakota's children live in low-income families. And I know you'd like to do something about that. And this bill helps those families. You couldn't do this before. We've never had a bill like this. And I want to mention what's different about this bill from previous proposals, because maybe you've got ideas about this that are left over from previous proposals. This bill takes the whole tax off food, not just part of it. This bill covers the revenues that are so important for our state, our cities, and our tribes. This bill is bipartisan, and this bill leaves the tax on pop and candies. Of course, the main objection that I hear to this bill or any idea about taking tax off food is that taxing food is a stable source of income. And I can't help but mention the irony that, sadly and interestingly, the opposite is true in the family budget. It's the part that goes to food that's not the stable part of the budget. You pay your mortgage, you pay your electricity bill, you put gas in the car to get to work, and it's the food budget that's the flexible part. It's the food budget that often gets cut when you're trying to make those other bills. So it's the least stable part. And I hope that that's a consideration just as much as from the state's point of view about the stable source of income. There are many people, of course, trying to cover the basics right now. If you've talked to your local food pantry, you probably heard that they're really struggling to try to make ends meet. I have some figures from some of the food pantries if you want them, but I think you probably know that there's a big stress right now. With just the tax on just $100 of food buying, a family could buy 2 gallons of milk. And that would be a real help in a family with teenagers. And so some of the money people save would get spent on food. Some would get spent on non-food. I talked to a family in a small town in Brown County, and both the parents are teachers. And they figured with this tax shift that's in this measure before you, that they would save about $300 a year. And I said, what would you spend that on? And they said, we would pay bills. We would pay bills. I want to mention a little bit about other states. Senator Merchant mentioned other states, and the trend in the other states is also a concern about getting the tax off food in their states, the ones that are still taxing groceries. And in 2007, our neighbor, Wyoming, ended their food tax completely. South Carolina ended their food tax completely. Arkansas cut theirs in half from 6% to 3%. And just this past year, there were significant reductions in Utah and West Virginia. And this year, the governor of Arkansas is adamant that he wants to get the tax down a little lower in that state. There are bills in the Missouri legislature. There's a huge tax reform campaign that includes this in Alabama. So there are things happening because of concern, not just people here in South Dakota, but around the country in states that still tax the groceries. I believe there's never been a better time. The food prices are up. The economy's down. You have an excellent bill before you. This is an opportunity that you have not had before. Previous legislators haven't had this chance to do this comprehensive, this excellent a proposal as you have in front of you. It's a tax. If you see a tax shift that works and it's revenue neutral, I hope that you will not be afraid to put your support for that, even your wholehearted support. And I am confident that the people from your districts, the people of South Dakota, will appreciate you for it, and they will bless you for it. So we appreciate your support of this bill.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Further proponents to Senate Bill 199? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mandy Hagseth, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Advocacy Network for Women. There have been a lot of really good points that have already been brought up, so I'm just going to summarize, be brief, and correlate why I'm standing up here, I suppose. The Advocacy Network for Women represents 24 varied organizations from across the state of South Dakota. As evidenced, I think, by both of the citizen testimonies that you've heard this morning, this is an issue that affects women and families in South Dakota. Women, I think, predominantly do the grocery shopping, although in a time of waning jobs and increased economic hardship, I think it becomes terribly important to look at things that we can do swiftly, easily, and immediately. I urge your support of Senate Bill 199, and I think women and family in South Dakota, women and families in South Dakota, will greatly benefit from this bill. And I think on a closing note, this is a good bill, it's the right time, and I hope you'll support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. For their proponents to Senate Bill 199. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Senator. It's nice to see you from this angle. Good morning, committee. Sandy Jurstead, District 12, State Senator. I just want to commend Senator Merchant for bringing this bill. A few of you who were around a couple years ago when I was a brand new senator, which Senator Merchant is today, might remember in this committee that I brought a bill to take tax off food, 1%. But, of course, in my not very wise early moments, I did not have any revenue to support that. And my good friend Jan Talley came up and said, you know, we're going to have to oppose your bill. And I just threw my arm around her and I said, well, I know you are. That's okay. That's your job. But I have to make a statement here, and that's my job. And I just remember that moment. And the bill that Senator Merchant has put together is just, it's phenomenal in so many ways. And one of the ways is, well, how are the cities going to recap the money that they are now getting from food tax? Well, the grocery stores will record everything that's bought in the grocery store, and they will, that recording of what they would have gotten for tax, they will be getting through the funding from the 0.5% tax on sales goods. This allows people a real choice and freedom, which of course we all treasure in this world, where they won't have to choose between, say, gasoline and tank and food or baby food. You know that in our state, chicken food and other agricultural items are not taxed at all. It's zero. But baby food is taxed 6%. And you know what? I support ag food not being taxed. This is an ag state, and we get our living from ag, and I support that. But now we have a chance to have baby food and all the other food that we all eat no tax, with a revenue neutral shift. And I just think that's such a marvelous opportunity. You know, and I've had this discussion with quite a few folks over time about, well, everybody should pay some tax. And I agree with that. You know, tax has a bad name. It's not a four-letter word, it's a three-letter word, but it has a bad name. Nobody wants to pay taxes, and they especially don't want their taxes increased. And, you know, those of us who are running for campaign, if the opponent can say, well, they're going to raise our taxes, boy, that's kind of a bad name. But, you know, we all have to and need to pay taxes in order to have services, in order to have emergency services, highways, schools, all the things, the good things that we enjoy in our state. So it just has to hopefully be fair and equal. That's all I hope. And that is my basic premise. I'm thrilled to be on the tax committee for the third year, and hopefully guiding and shepherding us to have a fair tax in our state, fair to everybody. And this is a big step towards fairness, because obviously those who are in low-income brackets right now pay about 20-22% of their income towards food, whereas those in upper-income brackets might pay 1-2% of their income towards food. Well, that's not a fair tax, because food is something you have to have. You know, we're boosting the other tax up 0.5%, but we can make a choice on that. We can go to the used clothing stores. We can hold off buying new stuff. You know, we can buy it on eBay or whatever. So this is a real move towards fairness and freedom. I also want to thank Kathy Breckelsbauer because she's been tireless in her work over time, as she said, trying to help those who are in need and trying to get the tax off of food. She's very much a citizen activist in terms of promoting good government, and I really appreciate that. We should all encourage everybody to be involved in government and in what we're doing. And I want to commend Senator Howey, too, because just last session, his bill had taking all the food tax off. You know, just a really wonderful thing. And one last little teensy-weensy story. I was serving on a citywide food drive a couple weeks ago in my hometown in a grocery store. And this woman came up to me, a very small woman with a very small child, and the child offered a little tiny bag of groceries to give to the food drive. And, you know, we said how wonderful that was and complimented her. And then the woman shared with me on the side, she said, I don't know how we're going to pay the heating for our house or rent or the apartment that we're renting this month. We're really having a struggle. And I just thought, in here she is giving to somebody else. You know, talk about the widow's mite story happening right in front of my eyes. It was beautiful. And we have a chance here today to make not just even a widow's mite, but maybe some kind of a magician's mite story here that we can do with one vote. So I would encourage all of us on the Committee of Taxation to make a real progressive move here forward. Thanks for allowing me this opportunity.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much. And further proponents? Any further proponents to Senate Bill 199? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 199? Good morning again.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jane Page, Department of Revenue and Regulation, and I am speaking in opposition to Senate Bill 189 today. Again, we do have a very wide base of taxable items and services so that we can keep our tax rate low. And this bill raises taxes. Not only that, but we have another bill in session this year just to balance the budget that hopefully as a last resort, though, will raise taxes again. And it's been said today that, yes, food is a very stable source of revenue for the state. And by that we mean even in good times or in bad times, people will buy food. But as Senator Gerstad said, they might not buy other things, or they might buy things on eBay and probably not pay the tax. So when you tax food and everybody pays the tax on food, it stabilizes the revenue sources. And they might stop buying other things or, like I said, buy out of state, buy cheaper, where we won't get the taxes on those. When we don't get enough for the budget, and we've seen that this year, the budget keeps ballooning and the revenues keep deflating, we see what happens is that goods and services are being cut to the poor and to the needy, to those who need it. So when you don't have a stable source of revenue coming in, or you eliminate one of the stable sources of revenue, you can also affect the budget. And when you affect the budget, we see what's happening this year is that goods and services are being cut. And nobody wants those cut, and everybody's keep coming in and saying, don't cut my goods, don't cut my services, but you have to find the revenue somewhere. So I think keeping a stable source of revenue will help the state out in the long run by allowing the state to budget for goods and services for people. And I think keeping the rate low is important for everybody else on all the other bills that they need to pay, especially if we're going to have two rate increases this year. I'm not going to speak to the amendment on the tribal issue. David Wiest is going to speak to that. And with that, I urge you to oppose Senate Bill 199. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Page. Further opponents to Senate Bill 199? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Wiest, Department of Revenue and Regulation. And I want to just visit very briefly regarding the amendment that would add Amendment 199FE, and I believe it's the third page of the amendment, which would add a tribal sales tax replacement fund and make an appropriation from that fund to the tribes. The concern I have with that amendment is, how does that fit within our constitutional mandates of Article 12, Sections 1 and 2 regarding appropriations? My concern is, as I sit here today, I don't know the answer of whether we can appropriate money to an Indian tribe, and that's my concern. I have not had a chance to research that, and I'll be the first to tell you that I don't know the answer as I sit here today, but that is the concern that I have regarding Section 17 and 18 of that amendment. I wish I had more time to research it to provide a better answer, but off the cuff here, I just don't know the answer, and I do have concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wiest. Further opponents to Senate Bill 199? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. This is an important question, and it is a good question that we should talk about every year. Senator Merchant deserves credit for bringing a very thoughtful proposal before you, but I'm here to oppose it. And in doing that, I want to make several points. I want to take us back to 2004, when a similar proposal was on the ballot. Now, the ballot didn't include the replacement revenue, but I think the major points of that discussion we had with voters will hold up scrutiny, even with that difference. As a footnote to that, Mr. Chairman, I want to tell you, we're talking a lot this year about changing the initiative process because we get experimented from out of state. One of the last great uses of the initiative process was when Mrs. Brechtelsbauer brought us this question as a local group, put it on the ballot so we could have this discussion. And in that discussion, what we discovered is that the voters understand that a tax base that is broad and has a low rate is favorable to one that's narrower with higher rates. They worried about the replacement revenue. They worried that other taxes would go up, and you see a small step of that in this bill. I will just point out to you that that increase goes on other necessities, clothing, utilities, because we do have that broad tax base. What made voters comfortable keeping the tax on food was the refund program. And I said before you as the only proponent who went down to appropriations and is working appropriations to keep that refund program alive because it's absolutely essential to addressing a very legitimate concern about the impact of taxing food. And we need to keep that program alive because here's about my second to the last point. While it is not wrong to look at the people you've heard testify here, it is also not wrong to look at the majority of the people you'll be giving a tax break to that quite honestly don't need it. We need to help those folks with the refund program, but the vast majority of taxpayers of the state can afford this, especially if we keep those rates low. So it is part of a good tax structure. And finally, and this is just one of those things that always piques me, I always get a kick out of this comparison. You know, we don't charge tax on feed to animals, but we do to our own children. And I'm not being glib, but I would tell you that we don't charge the tax on feed to animals because that's an input to something that we sell. They are a product. And in that sense, the comparison's inappropriate. So not with any great joy, but with looking at the seriousness of everything that's before you, I would encourage you to reject the bill.
Mr. Chairman, can yes. I ask Mr. Owen a quick question before he goes?
Why don't he'll be here. Further opponents to Senate Bill 199? Good morning.
Good morning, Senator Hansen, members of the committee. My name is Jim Hood, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. The South Dakota Retailers Association has had a long-standing position in opposition to repealing the sales tax on groceries or setting it at a rate lower than the general sales tax rate. I think it's important to note that sales tax is not charged on purchases made with food stamps. And, of course, as Mr. Owens mentioned, the sales tax on food refund program is available. And It has been our position and remains so that we are opposed to any reduction. I would stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hood. Further opponents to Senate Bill 199? Further opponents to Senate Bill 199? Seeing none, I would allow a moment for rebuttal from our prime sponsor, if you choose.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Pam Merchant, District 7, Senate. I think we have to ask ourselves, where do we draw the line? You know, who can pay the tax on food? Who can't? And I want to go back to the philosophical point of possibly needs should not be taxed. And this comprehensive package moves the tax burden upward. It's a tax shift. And yes, we do have to repeal part of our tax system, and we do have to add on non-food tax items. And if I want you to go back to this chart that shows the amount of people, 20%, the lowest 20% people that earn the lowest in our state, how much they pay for food out of their income, over 20%. Then you can move right up the ladder here, second 20%, third, fourth, and highest. Now tell me how, if we repeal the tax on food, it will shift this tax burden upward. That's what it will do. There'll be money saved, and it will go back into the economy. They'll save what they need to save, and they'll buy the food they need. So the people on the lower end of the income ladder, they will save money that they can use for food. People in the mid will save money on food, and they'll use some of it maybe to buy more food, and they'll use the rest in retail, non-food tax. They will spend the money. The upper income level will still have the tax shelters they have because they have investment money. Does this benefit them? Probably not. But it does. They still will spend that money. It will be either saved, spent in retail. So this is tax neutral. This is your opportunity to help everyone in this state, to help everybody. And I firmly believe that you will receive many more phone calls, emails, thanking you for supporting this. Then if you vote against this, they'll ask you why you didn't vote for it. And I really firmly believe that. There's no better time than now, when there's jobs being lost left and right. People are trying to figure out, you know, they're not paid enough. Anyway, they're working two jobs. They're trying to spend time with their family. This can lessen their burden, and I think it's a very good opportunity for you. So I hope you search your heart, and I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Senator. With that, we will offer the opportunity to ask questions of either proponents or opponents. Senator Maher?
Can I have Mr. Owen come? Mr. Chairman, Mr. Owen, can you refresh your memory? What was on the ballot in 2004? Do you know exactly how that was? It just a complete repeal of food tax, or was it a replacement? I don't recall what was going on in 2004.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Maher, as I recall, and the author of the measure is in the room, I think it was just strictly a repeal of the food out of the sales tax base.
Senator Alstein?
My question deals primarily with the amendment. Are we going to have a chance to we'll debate that later?
We will. I guess you can ask questions with regard to the
Okay. I would like to ask maybe the proponent, Senator Merchant. Where did the $600,000 figure come from to go into the tax replacement fund for the tribes?
That is Pam Merchant, District 7, Senate. That is a projected rate for this coming year of lost income that would have been collected at the tribal level.
Thank you.
Further questions? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Should we move the amendments at this time so we can discuss
them? I think that feel free to ask questions on the amendments, but let's wait until we're in the committee discussion
right,
and then
we'll
move the amendments.
Mr. Chairman, before Ms. Merchant leaves, could I
ask you? Certainly may.
Pam, could you explain on page 2 of the amendment, any incorporated municipality within the state may impose an ad valorem tax? Could you go through and explain what that part does?
Sure. This allows local control of their ability to collect taxes that would be lost to them at that local level, so they can increase it at the rate that they need to. Since our cities have varying rates of food tax or of sales tax at that local level, this will allow them to increase at the rate that they need to get back, and it will keep that. Another thing that will help with is that we won't have this large fund at the state level that potentially could be raided. I don't know what other term to use in the years to come. You won't have this pool of $80 million sitting there. It will be held at the local level, and they will adjust their ad valorem rate to bring the money back in to their municipality. Does that help you?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
To an extent, and I guess I don't know if this is a question, but more of a comment. But out in western South Dakota, where sometimes your only business may be in town is the grocery store, mm-hmm. there's not going to be any other taxes available to assess on other retail goods. And so what we're going to essentially do is totally strip those small communities of any tax revenue they had coming back into them. I can see it in Sioux Falls, Rapid City, Brookings, where you have major retail outlets. You can easily shift that tax burden onto those other avenues, but mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess if you want, follow up with what are small communities supposed to shift that tax burden to when they don't have other retail options?
Right. They would have to adjust their sales tax on non-food items to try to gather as much as they possibly could. But you also have to realize that they are saving that many amount, those hundreds of dollars a year, and it would go back into the economy. They would spend it.
Chair would ask Mr. Owen perhaps to clarify something that he had stated a bit ago.
Oh, pardon me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had Kathy Brechtesbell come up to me, and I've been under a very wrong impression for a very long time, and apparently I'm giving her way more credit than she wants for the initiative in 2004. Other parties brought that forward. Professor Nesba from Augustana actually secured some funding and was part of that campaign. I know she was a good advocate for this cause. I saw her at some of those discussions, but she took the time to clarify to me that she was not the author of that or its prime force, and I just thought I should clarify that. I've honestly believed that she was, and I appreciate her correcting it. Thank you for the time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Further questions? Seeing none, we'll close the questions and open the hearing to committee action, and first would be you may be probably back here at your microphone. Would someone like to move the amendment that has been offered? Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Now you're amending, this is which form?
Do one at a time.
D as in dog. Fred, dog. We have a motion to amend. Is there a second? Second by Senator Peterson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No, no. Can we have a discussion before?
You may.
Mr. Chairman, I'm concerned about everything else in the bill is proportional, and I certainly understand the problem on the reservation, but I'm troubled by this particular amendment because it's a lump sum that's not related to anything except perhaps, I'm sure Senator Merchant arranged for, it was determined by what is projected for this year, and but the $600,000 remains a fixed amount, only adjusted by the index factor, and for that purpose of this section, the index factor is the annual percentage change in this total state sales and use tax collections. Well, the problem with that is if it's a $600,000 and if the state ends up collecting more taxes on other items, then the index factor will go up. If hopefully our population, to give you an example, doubled and everyone spent exactly the same thing, but the population did not double on the reservations, this amount could go to $1,200,000. I think that we'd be better off, frankly, passing out this bill without these amendments and then considering them more specially, more specifically, when they get to the floor. I'm quite troubled because I can't support the amendment in the form that it's in now.
Okay. Further speaking to the amendment?
Well, we're only moving this one first. We're not on that one yet.
See,
we're on Amendment FD.
Yeah. Talking about FD.
Okay. We have several amendments that we will take one at a time.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Merchant.
I moved 199FD, which changed it to 3/10 and dealt with municipalities, not the tribes as of yet. That's the third one that I was going to move.
Yeah, and that was it was seconded by Senator Peterson. Okay, so speaking to just Amendment FD.
FB as in Bravo?
Dog.
Thank you.
Okay. Further speaking to the amendment? If not, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
No.
Okay, the motion carries. The Senate Bill 199 is now amended with the FD amendment. Senator Merchant?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Amendment 199 FTB, the title change, please.
Yeah, why don't we hold that to the end?
Okay. Then I would move 199 FE, please.
Okay. There's a motion for 199 FE, Fox, Echo. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, moved by Senator Merchant, seconded by Senator Gerstead. Speaking to that motion.
Mr. Chairman, back to, I guess this is a question for Senator Adelstein. I wasn't following where you were going. I guess I look at this from an Eagle Butte standpoint, you know, where, you know, you have Lakota Thrifty Mart, which is the largest retailer in the city of Eagle Butte, which also happens to be owned by the tribe, but you have that amount of tax revenue coming back into the tribe, and of course we have tax compacts with the tribe where 76% of the sales tax dollars derived on all the Indian reservations go back to Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, and so I think this is an attempt to help replace some of that revenue that would be lost. And with that, I guess I would just ask Mr. Adelstein to restate his point.
Mr. Chairman.
Adelstein?
Mr. Chairman, perhaps I spoke too quickly. I'll do it. What happens in this is, first of all, I'm concerned where the lump sum of $600,000 is derived. That's A, because I don't know that any of us know, especially in hard times like this, what percentage of the sales tax collected on the reservation is only on food and not on other items. But let's assume for a moment that the $600,000 is accurate. I still would propose in this form, because $600,000 becomes a base amount. That base amount will be increased by the annual percentage change in total state sales tax, state sales and use tax collections. If for example, There was some major project in the state. As a consequence, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, because I knew it happened on the interstate, and it might well happen with the new bill to help help with highway construction. If equipment came to the state that amounted to another $1 million in use tax collections, then all of a sudden the amount rebated to the tribes would go back. The $600,000, which I'm not totally comfortable with, but if I were comfortable, I still wouldn't be happy with the index factor because it's tied to things not at all related to tribal affairs, not at all related to food, but it's related to the total tax collections. Am I clearer now? Thank you.
Okay. Further speaking to the motion to amend FE.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Senator Adelstein, for those comments. I really appreciate that. And I think that what this is an attempt to do is goes by a standard with the index. The index factor goes by a standard. But I think we could adjust this at the rate of the sales tax revenue increase or decrease from that given area. And I think we could write that into an equation for the tribes.
Okay, further comments speaking to the motion to amend FE? Seeing none, all in favor of this amendment, 199 FE, vote aye. All opposed? Nay?
Aye.
That was a very delayed reaction. I think, in all fairness, I should offer you the chance to vote again so that we know for sure whether you're voting. Those in favor say yes, say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Okay. The motion, amendment FE fails. Now we are to motion to amend the title. Okay. We have Senate Bill 199 as amended. Further speaking to the amended bill, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there's been a good discussion on both sides of this issue, and I can see the points on both sides of this issue. I believe that this is a serious enough bill that it deserves debate down on the floor. So I'm going to support it today to move it down to the floor, but I can't guarantee that I will support it on the floor. But it's really a topic that needs discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further speaking to the amended bill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Merchant.
I would propose that we listen to what Senator Peterson has said and continue this discussion and clean up the amendment so the tribes are handled fairly and accurately, and would ask for your support at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Further speaking to the motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
I think the time has come that this should be discussed on the floor of the legislature and everyone be entitled to look at this admittedly regressive tax. I'm fascinated with the fact, as I look at the bill sponsors, of which I'm one, that it is indeed bipartisan, by area, East and West River, and I think that we need to seriously look at this food expenditure tax, especially as we're awaiting the federal action on sending money to the state. So I certainly hope we'll vote yes and get it to the floor.
Senator Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess as most of you in this committee, or all of you in this committee probably know, I would be generally supportive of an elimination of sales tax on food. But I'm going to oppose this bill. I think it's, while it's a valiant and wonderful attempt, I don't think we're yet where we need to be, and I'm not confident that this is the vehicle that's going to get us there. And I think it creates as many problems as it attempts to solve, maybe even a few more. So I think it's maybe the right idea, but the wrong form, and so I can't support it.
Further comments?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Nelson.
First of all, I'm proud to have my name on this bill as a sponsor, and I commend Senator Merchant. It's a tremendous vehicle, but it has also created a great deal, and that's why I'm hesitant to support it, because it has a great deal of it's created a great deal of reservations for me from a tax replacement standpoint, from a municipal standpoint, from a county standpoint. I'm just very uncomfortable with it in its current form, and regardless of the discussion it would have on the floor, I think that needing two-thirds down there, it would be it needs to be fixed before it comes out of committee, and I will oppose it in this committee.
Further comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Maher.
I'll make a motion to the 41st day.
Moved by Senator Maher, 41st day, seconded by Senator Holly.
Substitute motion.
Here we have a substitute motion. Senator Gerstad.
I do pass.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Gerstad, seconded by Senator Merchant. Speaking to that motion. Yes, we have a second. Okay, seeing none, we have a motion to do pass. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Howie.
No.
Gerstad.
Aye.
Maher.
No.
Merchant.
Aye.
Nelson.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Frisley.
No.
Hansen.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, yes, 5, no.
Okay, the due pass motion fails on a 5-4 vote. Further action? Let's see, we're back to the Senator Maher's motion to the 41st day. Speaking to that motion. Seeing none, those in favor of the move to the 41st day will say aye. Those opposed say nay, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
No.
Howie.
Yes.
Gerstad.
No.
Maher.
Aye.
Merchant.
No.
Nelson.
Yes.
Peterson.
No.
Frisley.
Yes.
Hansen.
Aye.
5-4.
Okay, we move to the 41st day on a 5-4 vote. Let's see, to back up just a moment, on House Bill 1010, which went on consent, I would ask that in the event that's pulled off the consent, if Senator Frisley, if you'd carry that on the floor, and Senator Gerstad, if you'd explain that in your caucus, that's on House Bill 1010. And on House Bill 1011, Senator Maher, if you would carry that on the floor, please. And Senator Holly, explain it in your caucus, please. With that, I believe it brings us to the point of where we would like to take action on a bill that we tabled the other day, Senate Bill 149. And I would entertain a motion to remove that from the table.
Mr. Chair. I so move that we remove 149 from the table.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Frisley to remove that from the table for the purpose of inserting an amendment and actually a hoghouse amendment. Is there any questions or comments with regard to the motion? If not, all in favor say, let's see, this is a roll call vote, is it? Or,
yes.
Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And Secretary will call the roll. Senator Peterson.
A quick comment. I hope that everybody can support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Adelstein.
To table.
To take it from the table.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Howie.
Aye.
Gerstad.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Merchant. Nelson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, the Senate Bill 149 has been removed from the table, and what I would like to do is turn the gavel over to Senator Frisley for a moment and allow me to offer an amendment. I'll change the title and change and an amendment. I'll just stay here.
Okay. Okay, Senator Nelson, would you care to move the amendment on this, or do you want to call for it? Would you be the proper procedure here? Representative Howley, I'm sorry, Senator Howley.
I'm needing a copy.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move the amendment 149 FA.
Senator Nelson has moved 149 FA, and that's been seconded by Senator Juristed.
Mr. Vice Chair, if I may just make a couple comments as to what we're doing here. This is to put on a hog house amendment to actually function somewhat as a companion to Senate Bill 3, which we passed a few days ago, dealing with the move to change the method of arriving at a taxable number for agricultural land, putting it on the basis of ag production. And this, as I say, is a somewhat of a companion to, it's been worked out with the several interested groups, the ag groups, South Dakota Chamber, and so what I'm wanting to do is introduce the amendment today, not take action on the bill until our next meeting, and so that people out there on the internet will have the opportunity to be able to pull it up and see what is taking place. And so with that, I would encourage you to move the to accept the motion to amend.
Is that a roll call vote?
No, the amendment
shouldn't be.
Okay. All in favor of moving amendment 149 FA, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment has been moved.
And now we should do the title.
Is there a title change?
It's right at the bottom here.
We need a move, a motion to...
Mr. Chair, I would move to amend the title 149 FTA.
Motion has been moved to move the title. Is there a second? Senator Peterson has seconded. All in favor of the title change signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next move is?
Adjourn.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Adelstein.
Yes, could I ask that this be deferred to not the Thursday? Thank you. And as you finish, he's so brilliant, the chairman reads my mind.
Okay. Yes, Senator Howley. Is there a second?
Second.
In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.